It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Now to superheroes in films and comic books. The superhero genre has evolved with more diverse characters, tackling real world issues, particularly around race. As Marvel's superhero sequel, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, has a black female lead, we asked, you know, about the cultural shift that is underway. Be part of this conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ramzi Fawaz is an English professor at UW-Madison, author of two books about comics, queer genders, and pop culture. Ramzi, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. So you study the relationship between pop culture and radical social movements. Connect some dots for us. How do superheroes relate to social movements?
It's actually a really good question. Part of what I claim in my first book, The New Mutants, is that starting in the early 1960s, comic book creators began to reinvent the superhero as a kind of genetic and species outcast, a mutant, a monster, a freak. One of the great outcomes of this, many of us know, is the X-Men, for instance, a group of superheroes who have mutant abilities, who have like a genetic quirk that allows them to have all these different abilities. And part of what I say in that book is that that wasn't by accident, right? That change in which superheroes were starting to be represented as people who were outside of social norms was really a response to the explosion of social movements in the 60s, to the civil rights movement, to women's and gay liberation. These creators were recognizing that marginalized and oppressed people were beginning to demand their rights. We're beginning to demand legitimacy and kind of status in the society. And they knew that young people were leading those movements and those were their target audiences. So there was a connection between kind of the reinvention of this figure and a new kind of audience that was politicized and committed to social change. And so rather than just representing or reflecting that reality, superheroes became like an emblem for imagining the world differently, imagining different kinds of alliances between different marginalized people. So that's kind of the story that I tell in that book, how that kind of surprising connection between comics and social movements kind of plays out in that period.
But underlying that, though, is the reality that many well-known superheroes are white, straight men. So how do you balance that diversity and that push of social complexities with the fact that, you know, these are white, straight men?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that historically, that's very much where the genre begins, right? Of course, the genre begins with Superman, kind of an iconic figure of white masculinity. But we have to remember that Superman was an alien immigrant to the United States, and he was created by Jewish ethnic Americans. So even though he visibly appeared to be a white man and did very much represent kind of that, that image, very quickly, the superhero as a figure breaks down the idea of the traditional white male body. And by the 1960s, while there are many characters that are still white, you are getting a huge number of characters who are not, right? You get Storm, the most famous Black woman superhero, probably in the history of the genre, in the X-Men. You get the introduction of the Black Panther and the Black Green Lantern. So while people of color have been historically very underrepresented in superhero comic books, what you see in the 60s and after is the proliferation of characters who have superpowers that make them different in a way that references race. So mutation, for instance, becomes kind of like a stand-in for racial difference in the 60s. And part of what I argue in my work is that these are just different strategies for representing what it means to be different, right? Mm-hmm. One strategy is to literally represent people of color, to say we actually need to have characters who are Black, who are Latina, who are Asian American. And the other is to say, well, we could actually create metaphors for difference, like mutation, like monstrosity, and we can use those as a way to reflect on the problem of difference imaginatively. And I say that both strategies are useful, like both of them actually matter. I think that now we're seeing...
I was going to say, layer that on with Wakanda Forever, then, as we see Marvel creating a film focused solely on the African nation of Wakanda.
Yeah. I mean, I think now what we're seeing is major pressure on the first strategy, which is to proliferate as many images of actual racialized people, of women, of queer people. Like now you're seeing the Marvel cinematic and television universe kind of explode with representational diversity. And I think Wakanda Forever is really astounding to me. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it yet. No. Have you?
I think what's amazing about this movie, for all the listeners out there, is that it's actually a movie about the conflict between different marginalized groups. Mm-hmm. It introduces us to the Atlanteans, who are Mesoamerican. Like, they're basically a group of Mesoamericans who experienced what it was like to be colonized in the 16th century by white settlers, by Spanish settlers. And they ended deciding to go live in the ocean, right? They become mutants and they live in the ocean, and they end up having this battle with Wakanda in this movie, because what they want is to wage war on the entire world that oppressed them.
Can we pause? I just want to pause right there. UW-Madison English professor Ramzi Fawaz, looking at the relationship between pop culture, radical social movements, and how that's all informed today as we watch Wakanda Forever in theaters. Join in on Superhero Narratives, 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As we dig into the superhero stories, the narratives that speak to tangible societal problems, and this is the Marvel Cinematic Universe brings us Black Panther, the sequel, which has been heralded by movie critics as proof of Hollywood's more diverse future. Join in on that note, on diversity in the comic book industry, where you see it, 800-642-1234. Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. We have UW-Madison English professor Ramzi Fawaz, who stays with us. Ramzi, we were talking there about Black Panther, and, you know, you got a big budget film that's fronted by, Black women characters. How does Wakanda Forever inform how we think about women superheroes, how you think about women as superheroes?
I think that the movie it doesn't actually try to make a statement necessarily about women. I think it just places women in central roles. That's part of what's so amazing about it. It's not trying to make an argument for the value of women superheroes. It just says they exist. And so they're here, front and center. So I think that's part of the genius of the film. I think a lot of the contemporary Marvel movies now are no longer making it an issue. They're simply saying the world is diverse and so is our creative universe. I mean, that's part of what's so amazing. And I think that Wakanda Forever is fascinating because it's ultimately not about white people. And I don't even think that it's for white people, to be honest. Mm. I mean, I think it's all about the conflict between Black and brown people who are struggling to find a place in a world where white supremacy has sidelined them. And so it ends up being about the clash between these two these two incredible civilizations, Wakanda and the Atlanteans. And I think that's really powerful that we've arrived at a place where Marvel's cinematic universe is so wide and big that it doesn't actually have to center around white people and white bodies. Like, it can really be about the internal struggles and working through of major problems between marginalized people. Like, I find that really fascinating.
I wonder, though, superhero films and even comic books, they have that long history of just escapism, of being able to escape from real world things. Like, you watch Spider-Man swing through New York City or Batman on a crime-fighting mission. Is that escapism we crave changing or growing old? Or what is pushing comics to evolve to thread in these more real-world, complex, diverse issues?
So they weren't just escapist. I mean, that's the thing that I really want to push back on. Like, they never have been. When you read the Superman comics of the 1930s, he is like pro-union. He's fighting for the working man in the United States. The comic book is constantly critiquing corporate culture. Spider-Man is about what it means to be a young teenager in contemporary urban culture. He's trying to figure out like what his responsibility is as a civic participant in late 20th century America. You know, the X-Men has been always about the problem of social marginalization. Like, comics are only escapist if that's how you choose to read them. They've always been historically about deep, major, big problems in our society. And what we call escapism is really the way that comic books use fantasy and imagination to try to deal with very difficult, complex social problems. So one quick example I'll just give is the Fantastic Four. Everybody recognizes the Fantastic Four, this group, these four superheroes who look like they're a nuclear family, the Invisible Woman, the Mr. Fantastic, the Human Torch, and the Thing. But that comic book was actually about what it means for the American family to escape the domestic life of the home and to go off into outer space and meet like a million species of aliens. Like, they were space travelers. And part of what was brilliant about the comic book was it said the white American family needs to get out of its house. It needs to start meeting people who are different than themselves. And they modeled what it would look like for white Americans to actually like be interested in people of different races, even different species. It's like, it's an amazing, it's not really an escape. It's really like training you to deal with difference. And I think that's like what the movies now are recognizing is that that's always been true.
Ramsey, thank you so much for joining us. What a pleasure.
Thank you.
Ramsey Fawaz is an English professor at UW-Madison, where he studies the relationship between popular culture and radical social movements. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us for The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.